Welcome back to the program. Glad you are with us. Dallas, Texas, CPAC 2022. And joining me now is Eric. Eric, how do you say your last name?
Abinante.
All right. Now, I interviewed Lila.
Yes.
Hart.
Yes.
Is there a relation?
Yeah, that's that. At this point, that's her stage name. Okay. She is Lila Abinante.
So she's your wife.
Yes.
You confused me because your badges don't say the same last name. So I'm glad you got me there.
Yeah, yeah. We both have confusion of names in
no,
both of our families.
No
so
problem.
We match up well.
All right, good deal. So you produced this movie, The History of Voter Fraud, right?
Yeah, American History of Voter Fraud, and we cover it's a chronological exploration of voter fraud from 1800s to 2022.
So this voter fraud thing's been going on a long time.
Oh yeah, and so for instance, I mean,
hold on a second. You're gonna come back, right? Okay, but then come
so
back.
So for instance, like with ballot harvesting, let's look at the movie 2000 Mules. There's been mules documented for over 200 years. 1864 was the first year that we had absentee ballots. And in 1864, there was pervasive absentee ballot fraud. There were fake soldiers' names written on the list, and they found it all over the list. And there were a lot of mules who were collecting ballots and stuffing ballots.
And what election was that? Who was that? Do you remember?
Even when 1864 happened, it was happening. So the first acknowledged rigged election was 1876 between Hayes and Tilden. And so the three southern states stopped counting randomly, deja vu.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And then the Southern Democrats and the Republicans got together and they made a compromise. The compromise was that Hayes would win, but the Democrats could do their quasi-terrorism to the black population at the time. They were the ones who wanted to do poll taxes, and they started the KKK. You know, when we talk about voter suppression, back at that time, it was the black Republicans who were getting attacked by these Democrats.
That's right.
Here's a great factoid. When is the first black senator elected as a Republican? 1870. First black senator elected as a Democrat, 1993. Only 123-year difference.
Wow.
So when you're talking about voter suppression, Bryn.
So what? The Republicans had the first black.
1870, and then they had a black senator. And then they had a couple more, and then in 1979.
Was it congressman or senator?
Senator.
Senator.
And then in 1979, they had Edward Brooke out of Massachusetts, who's a great senator, and he got voted out by the white Democrats at the time. And then that was the last one until 1993. I forget her name, but she was elected for the Democrat side. And you look at voter suppression. I mean, we show a great picture in the film of this document. It was a leaflet handed out at the time, and it says, oh, if you want to support white supremacy, well, you better vote Democrat and vote Hoover. You know, at the time,
unless you want to support white supremacy.
Yeah, if you want to support white supremacy, you better vote Democrat. You better support Hoover. So, yeah, I mean, this has been a voter suppression. We cover actual voter suppression. There's a tape of Lyndon Baines Johnson of this very state. We are here right now. That came out recently. That is horrific. And it is him arguing why he should not pass the Civil Rights Act. And trigger warning, there is a very bad slur in there.
Really?
Full word, hard R.
Wow.
And this is Lyndon Baines Johnson, who gets a lot of credit for passing the Civil Rights Act.
Which he couldn't have done without the Republicans who helped him do it.
Well, actually,
a lot of Democrats wouldn't help
so,
him.
So we show Robert Caro, who is the undeniable, he is the most esteemed scholar on Lyndon Baines Johnson. And he goes to the archives in Austin and has spent hundreds of hours there going through archives. And he will tell you that the way that Lyndon Baines Johnson became the Senate Majority Leader was he went up to Southern Democrats and he said, how I view the relationship between white and black is master and slave. Hmm. And that was how he became Senate Majority Leader. Now, let's go back over Lyndon Johnson. He is the most prominent person in American history to have acknowledged rigged elections and rise to the top. Have you ever heard of Ballot Box 13, Brandon?
No.
Ballot Box 13 was the infamous ballot box that was stuffed for Lyndon Baines Johnson in the 1948 Senate election. And there's a picture of them happily holding it up for you. And it's beautiful. Ballot Box 13 in Jim Wells County here in Texas. There's 250 counties here in Texas. All you have to do is add a couple dozen here, couple dozen there. Boom. I mean, so let's go over then. What do you think is the most rigged election of all time?
Is it, would it not be the Trump-Biden election?
Not even close. 1960. 2020 was pervasive, but not nearly as pervasive as 1960. And we prove it in our film. Hey, trust me, 2020 was bad. 2020 was really bad. But they were standing on the shoulders of the giants of 1960. Okay, so let's go over this. It only took two states to flip 1960. Texas and Illinois. That's all it took. Go back and look at it. Just those two states flip. Nixon wins that election. And here's how it happened. So, Lyndon Baines Johnson, JFK's running mate, runs Texas. Oh, how convenient, after he had just rigged an election in 1948. And by the way, why did he do that? Because an election was rigged from him in 1941. So it's a pattern. They all think that they have to do this to compete.
Wow.
Anyways, so in 1960, he's running the whole Texas election. And I'm going to give you two counties. This is a great example. Angelina County in Texas in 1960. Only 87 registered voters, 186 votes. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, but over 250 counties, if you do that proportion, Fannin County, there was 6,000 votes, only 4,800 registered voters. Three out of four went to Kennedy. You do this, you know, it's a death by a thousand cuts, slowly over time. Where did they learn this? And then, so that was just Texas. Then Illinois, Mayor Daley. And this is acknowledged by many people. Oh, Mayor Daley, of course. There was no way that JFK wins that election without Mayor Daley. We show tape of people saying this. And Mayor Daley, you talk about 2,000 mules, he worked with the mafia, and they did a lot of ballot harvesting. And now when you think the mafia, you're like, oh, did they shake people down? No, it was boring. It's just like 2,000 mules. Just buying off votes, grabbing from people. Yes, they did do some shakedowns, but that was not the majority of what they did. The majority of what they did was the movie 2,000 Mules. So they're just grabbing.
So history's repeated itself.
Over and over and over again. 2,000 mules. Sure, that's great. We have 200 years of mules in our film. And here's the other thing.
So you should put out the film 200 mules instead of 2,000 mules.
But here's the thing. What do you think is the most impactful form of voter fraud? I want to highlight public perception on this. I'll give you a couple. So ballot harvesting, individual voter fraud, election official fraud, machine tampering. What do you think is the most impactful form of voter fraud?
Today?
Historically and today. It's the same.
I would say machine, but they didn't have machines years ago. So
see, and I'm so glad you answered this way, because it's wrong, but I'm glad you answered that way. So most voter fraud derives from the Tammany Hall. Tammany Hall was back in the 1800s. This is when they first organized it into a group and rigged elections. It's back in New York in the 1800s. And so machine tampering, of course, one day it will be number one. It is not sophisticated enough, not even close. And as you know, people of my generation can tell you, the technology is not very far yet. We have a long way to go on technology. And so machine tampering is so young. And
it is happening, though.
Yes, but we cover machine tampering fabulously in the film. Voting machines are not even the machine that gets tampered with the most. Optical scanners are. 50% of voters vote under jurisdictions under optical scanners. The error rate historically is 5%. That's crazy. That's a huge amount in an election. When elections are decided by 1 or 2 points, 5% is huge. Now, optical scanners are used for speed, not accuracy. And it's very not accurate because they are not calibrated for certain inks. So, 2000 and 2004, people focus on the hanging chads. Not that effective. It was way less than 1%. 5% is huge. Diebold, who manufactures these, they don't even let you look at any of their audits because the information is proprietary.
Right, that's what they say, right.
So you can't see why that it's not calibrated towards certain inks. We could surmise why. I mean, you saw in Arizona with the Sharpie gate.
Right.
You could surmise why. Oh, okay, I'm going to hand out Sharpies to people. They say, oh, it works, but our optical scanners will take these out at 5%. One of the key things in voter fraud is not gaining votes. It's elimination of opposition votes. If I put optical scanners in jurisdictions where my enemy is, I take out 5% of their votes. That's huge. That's what happened to Carrie Lake. So for those of you wondering, what happened to Carrie Lake? Why did it take so long? So in voter fraud, the repeated pattern you see over and over again is we need to buy time to figure out what the margin is. And it's the same reason why in Georgia we show this. Georgia at 10:30 p.m.
They stopped.
They stopped because of a water main break.
Which they never did have.
Well, I mean, it was, you knew that because they said it didn't damage any paper or electronics. What kind of water main break has never damaged either of those? So anyways, they wanted to buy time. They wanted to see, okay, how long, how many votes do we need? What do we need to do? Arizona was the same case. They stopped using optical scanners so that they could buy as much time as possible, because you cannot eliminate any ballots when you need as many as possible to overcome a margin that big. And so they need to buy a lot of time. And so it's a repeated pattern over and over. You see this over and over. Election official fraud is by far and away the most pertinent form of voter fraud. It's been that way from the beginning, and it will be to the end of time, in my opinion. Here's why. All voter fraud is subsidiary under election official fraud. And we have footage of them saying that for over 60 years. We're the best way to rig an election. Not anything else. Us. And it's like, of course, they're the ones who operate the system. Why wouldn't they be? And over, we see this issue with election officials having access to it, being partisan in some way. Oh, I want to support the candidate that has my ideology. You don't even need to buy them off necessarily. That's the scariest part. If they're just partisan and they want to do it, they can get away with it. Why is that? Well, the audit system is set up so that you cannot really uncover the fraud. We showcase the best study on audits. It's a University of Michigan study. It's over 100 pages. I read the whole thing, so you didn't have to. But we showcase the best example of this. Jimmy Fitzmaurice, 1979, the Louisiana gubernatorial race. There was so much that happened to him, but he only had 5 days to present the evidence himself, and he had to pay for it. And that's the way it's set up for everybody. A great example. We show footage in 2020 of Trump going over all the voter fraud that happened to him. He's trying to display the evidence in some way during a press conference. And Lester Holt interrupts him during the broadcast. And is like, oh, we gotta interrupt these lies because they haven't presented evidence. Lester, it's been 6 hours. How would they present all the evidence? I mean, it's incredible that they framed it that way. And, you know, the other part that's disgusting about how they framed all this is the decertification process is not talked about correctly. There's precedent to what...
Absolutely.
So January 6th, 1961, Kennedy decertified Hawaii. And who played the role of Mike Pence? His opponent, Nixon, who was the VP at the time. Okay? And so this is a precedented-setting thing. Both parties have accepted this as fact.
Wow. Help me now. Who did Kennedy...
Kennedy decertified Hawaii. We go over it in the film, but there was tabulation errors. It was Hawaii's
Nixon was his opponent.
Yes, and also the VP at the time. So that's why he's playing the Mike Pence role.
Why was he VP? Kennedy's VP was...
No. No, the previous... I'm blanking on the guy's name, but Nixon was the VP of the previous president at
yes,
the time.
Yes, yes,
so that's
yes,
why he's playing yes. the Mike Pence
okay.
role.
Okay, okay.
And I think it was Ike. I'm so sorry, I'm forgetting. But he was the VP. So your opponent is literally playing the Mike Pence role,
Kennedy did that as a U.S. senator.
Yeah, but Kennedy offered up an alternate slate of electors.
Yeah, but not as president. He did that as a U.S. senator. Kennedy.
Yeah, but as a nominee, he offered up an alternate slate of electors.
Okay,
and that was allowed, and it has been precedent set. And then why did we do that? That's because of the Electoral Count Act of 1887, which was a response to the first acknowledged rigged election, 1876, Hayes-Tilden.
Wow.
Why do you need these rules? Because obviously one party would act very differently to the other party about evidence of rigging an election.
Wow. Okay, so all of this is in your documentary. Tell us where you can get it before we let you go.
LilaHart.com/documentary. Also, this has never been done before. Just type in American History of Voter Fraud on YouTube. You will see how few videos there are on voter fraud. This is the most controversial yet boring topic in the world. No one ever wanted to make this film.
But you did.
We did. And we made it fun. We make history fun. You will watch this and you have a great time watching it. It's 2 hours. You can watch it in 30-minute chunks. Plays like Ken Burns miniseries. It's a very good film. It is the most documented film on YouTube. They wanted to take it down. I have had 2,000 Mules detractors tell me hundreds of times, I reported it. Well, it's still up. I must know more than you.
That's great. Thank you. And again, I appreciate your being like a walking encyclopedia on voter fraud.
Oh, yeah. That's what we're here for. We were censored comedians. We got censored so much, we had to make this film. We're fighting back for you guys.
Good for you. Thank you.
Thank you.